Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Anyway, moving on into the narration given in the third canto, 15th chapter of the Kumaras visiting Vaikuntha. Now the Kumaras offer their respects. They speak to Lord Narayana. Atta Sri Bhagavatas Tadrusha Bhava Vyanjanim Nijam Uktim Tesham eva swahard abhivyakti kadena studi vakyena pramanayati. Lord Vishnu hasn't spoken yet, right? They saw Narayan, that's all so far. Okay. Yeah, okay, I understand. I'm just worrying about the antecedent of the pronoun nija. Is it Maitreya's own words or Narayan's own words? But Narayan hasn't said anything. Okay, so it's Maitreya. Translation of that. Next, Maitreya corroborates his own statements, because Maitreya's been speaking all along. It's all his description of what the Kumaras experienced. We have to trust him that he knows what they experienced, that he has that information, because we're hearing it from him, from Maitreya. But now he quotes the Kumaras, they speak. So next, Maitreya corroborates his own statements describing these characteristics of the divine personality of Godhead, because that's what this book is about. It's about who and what is the personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. Anyway, he corroborates his own statements with the words of praise offered by the sages, which reveal their inner thoughts. In the verse beginning, the Kumaras said, okay, so we're going to hear tattva, but also bhava from the Kumaras. They're going to tell what they understand, but also what they're feeling. Okay, it begins with Kumara Uchuhu. Okay, they offer their prayers. Swa stuti maha yak iti panchabihi. First, they offer their praise in five verses, beginning Yaha. Okay, verse number for that?
46.
Okay, 46. Here it comes. Kumara uchuhu yom tar hito vidigato piduratmanam tvam sodhyaiva no nayanamula manam taradaha Yariva karna vivarena buhamato na pitranu varni taraha bhavarun bhavena. The Kumaras said, our dear Lord, you are not manifested to rascals, even though you are seated within the heart of everyone. But as far as we are concerned, we see you face to face, although you are unlimited. The statements we have heard about you from our father Brahma through the ears have now been actually realized by your kind appearance. So, atra akshara jusham api iti anusritya vyakhyayate. Okay. We will explain these five verses in accordance with the words, even though they were devoted to the infallible Brahma, Akshara Jush, those who were dedicated to Akshara, the infallible. Even though they were impersonalists, they reacted so spontaneously to the appearance before them of Lord Narayan. So in that light, Given that, bearing that in mind, Jiva Goswami will explain his understanding of what their first verse means. He paraphrases. Nityam brahmasvarupin prakashase natachitram idanim tu vishuddha sattva lakshanena swarupa shakti vritti visheshena prakashayata gana prakasha paratatvaika rupaya murtya pratyaksho si. Oh, bhagyam asmakam ityahu. Okay, this is the lead-in. This is what they were thinking before they started speaking, according to Jiva Goswami. It is not amazing that you appear in your self-same form of impersonal Brahman. But oh, it is our great fortune that now you are visible in your personal form, the full manifestation of the Supreme Truth, the same form which you always have. You have become visible like this by the special function of your internal energy known as pure goodness. That's what they are having in mind when they start to speak. Hey Ananta, yastvam ridgato bi dura mana antar hito naspurasi. O unlimited one, although you do not appear but remain invisible to the faulty souls, okay, faulty souls don't see you, despite being present in their heart, no, sa no asmakam antarhato nabhavasi nayanamulam tu adyaiva radha prapto si. Nonetheless, that same person, that means you, Narayan, is not invisible to us. He's invisible to almost everybody, but you're not invisible right now to us. Rather, our eyes have now achieved or obtained you. Okay, so that is their astonishment that he doesn't show himself so easily, but somehow they're very fortunate that they're seeing him. Tata cha api samradane pratyaksh anumana abhyam Vedanta Sutra ityasya vishaya vakyam parachikani vyatrinat Swayam bhus tasmad param pashati nam taratman kaschid dhira prachadam anamaikshad avritta chakshur amitatvam itchan. That is in Katha Upanishad. Similarly, there is a sutra of the Vedanta from the third chapter of the Vedanta Sutra. The third chapter of the Vedanta is the Sadhana Pada. It describes the Abhideya, or the process for becoming liberated. And there in that chapter, there's a sutra that reads, certainly, it's implied, he is directly perceived by the senses. In the context, we understand that's implied. Certainly, he is directly perceived by the senses. Because that's what the argument is about at that point in the Vedanta. Is he perceived by the senses or not? The answer is certainly he is perceived by the senses in perfect worship on the evidence of direct statements of Shruti and the reasoning of Smriti. Now, that sutra, every sutra in the Vedanta is a discussion, it's a settling of an argument about some statement from the Shruti, and what does it really mean? So the statement that's being discussed here, just like the Sandarbhas discuss different verses of Bhagavatam. Each Anuchet has its verse of discussion. So Vedanta, each sutra is discussing some some statement from Shruti. Here's the Shruti statement as the Vishaya, or the topic statement, of the sutra we just referred to. And that statement is from the Kathopanishad. Self-born Brahma, provided senses which focus externally. Why? Why do all the senses point outside? Why not inside? Or sideways? Why outside? Because therefore one sees the outer world, not his inner self. Because people don't want to see the inside, they want to see the outside. They want material enjoyment, and that's found on the outside. So therefore Brahman obliges by pointing our senses outward. Therefore one sees the outward world, not the inner self. The inner self can be seen only by a rare man of sober learning, who is eager to gain immortality and has thus turned his eyes inward. You can't do that physically. You can't just, you know, move, you know, invert your senses, turn the eyes around, push the nose in. You can't do that. It doesn't work. Even if you've got a plastic surgeon to try that, it doesn't work. It's a more subtle and difficult process for turning your senses inward. That's what yoga is about. In the Ashtanga system, that's what it's about. Asanas lead to pranayama. The pranayama helps control the mind. And then, with a controlled mind, you can withdraw the senses from their outside engagements and direct them inward. That's the process of turning your senses around. Pratyahara, following pranayama. Or the equivalent in other forms of yoga. Bhakti yoga system, same thing is accomplished. Withdrawing your attention from external things and putting your attention on Krishna. Commentary. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't read the whole translation. Let me start again, the verse from the Kathopanishad. Self-born Brahma provided senses which focus externally. Therefore, one sees the outward world, not his inner self. The inner self can be seen only by a rare man of sober learning, who is eager to gain immortality, and has thus turned his eyes inward. I read that already. Okay. Commentary. It was previously said that the Kumara brothers were attracted by the beauty of Lord Narayan, even though they were previously fixed in impersonal realization. What they said in addressing Lord Narayan should be understood bearing this in mind. The personality of Godhead is more difficult to realize than impersonal Brahman, because understanding him requires personal commitment and humility. Can't just have your eyes rotated. You actually have to change your heart. The impersonal does not have to be obeyed. But an impersonalist who is so fortunate as to be granted a glimpse of God consciousness appreciates this kindness very much. Usually this can happen only with the help of pure devotees who guide the impersonalist and intercede with Krishna on his behalf. The Kumaras were pure-hearted, not envious, and so they were able to approach Lord Narayana directly. You might ask, well, did they take help from other devotees? Did they have spiritual guidance, or did they just find Narayana on their own? Interesting question. I don't know the answer. I don't know the history of the Kumaras before they came to Vaikuntha. Did they have a guru, Vaishnav guru? Yeah. Their father, Brahma. That's what they're acknowledging here. That we heard. We didn't appreciate it when we heard it. They got instructions from their guru and didn't take them seriously until they actually saw Narayan. But the introduction was to Krishna consciousness they got from Lord Brahma. Okay. Any questions here?
Both Ilya and Ashoka meditation, you know, the devotee can also Он тут есть Слово Господь Кришна, такие великие мысли, все молодцы, как если он молчит, это молчит, он Кришна сможет, словами, если Медитация is just a question of consciousness, whether we want to enjoy it or we want to use the
Krishna. Which is a question? What is a question of consciousness?
About external and internal meditation.
Yes, it's really a matter of consciousness. It's a coincidence, not a coincidence, but it's secondary, that Brahma has put the eyes facing out. But that's because of the consciousness. That's what's stated here in the Katapanishad. Because of it's implied. Because the living entities want to look out, therefore Brahman gives them eyes to look outward. But it's the consciousness that has to change, not the physical configuration of the senses. The consciousness is what's crucial here. And one who changes his consciousness, becomes Krishna conscious, he'll still be seeing things on the outside and dealing with them. That continues. He doesn't have to, like an impersonalist, cease all engagements. Okay. Sri Krishna.
Before the visiting Vaikuntha, did four Gomanas hear something about form of the Lord?
It says they heard something from Brahma about Narayan.
That's why they acted and they want to
visit. That's not said. It said the Dritraya, they were just wandering. You know, and they happened to come. But they must have, you know, said, hey, that's Vaikuntha, we heard about that place from farther. So, there was some interest in the back of their hearts, but I don't think it was that they had a plan to do it.
And what is the difference between realization and understanding?
Is there a difference?
I'm just asking, there is a difference.
Not really. Understanding can be theoretical. You can say the facts, but you really don't know what they mean. The goal of life is prema. Okay, but I don't know what prema is. How is prema different than chocolate ice cream? I don't know. I can't really say. I've tasted chocolate ice cream, but I haven't tasted prema. So I can only say theoretically the goal of life is prema. And I can give some theoretical reasons to back it up, some philosophical reasons. But I don't have realization. I have theoretical understanding. What does it say here?
Okay, the personal Godhead is more difficult to realize than impersonal Brahma. So, I heard that.
Well, yeah, okay.
I heard that it is very easy to get Krishna because if you want to see
I guess looking at the same thing from different angles. It's something's easy about it and something's hard about it. It's all you have to do is give up your selfish motives. It sounds easy. And from one point of view, that's easy. It's easy for a simple person. But for a person who's crooked, who's not honest, it's the hardest thing in the world to become humble. That's what it said here. Where was it said? And my commentary that, you know, humility is required. So that's a simple formula, but for some people it's extremely difficult to do. So, the same thing could be simple in one sense and hard in another. So you can say that. You can make both statements, that realizing Krishna is really easy and realizing Krishna is incredibly hard. They're both true, and especially for different people. For some people, it's easier to just deal with Brahman and not deal. That's why Brahman realization is encouraged, because some people can relate to that and they can't relate to Krishna consciousness. They're not ready for it. So for those, it's easier for them to realize Brahman. To try to realize Brahman.
Two questions. One is, since you took the topic, so what is the understanding of Lakshodhikantarasteshan? In which part of you Krishna is discouraging? Is this so difficult to understand? Which is Lakshodhikantarasteshan or Devadasa Kachir? object by Prabhupada, the Prabhupada writes a big Prabhupada devotee. At which point of mind will Prabhupada is increased difficult and bhakti is easy?
Well, from Prabhupada's explanation, we get the understanding that because it's a vyakta, Brahman isn't that, Brahman is a vyakta. There's nothing to connect your senses to. If yoga means to engage the senses in meditation, what's there to meditate in the avyakta? There's nothing manifest. That's the difficulty. That's what Krishna, that's the kind of difficulty that Krishna is talking about. It's really hard for an embodied being, a person with senses, a person who thinks he's a person, to meditate on the impersonal. It's something he doesn't understand. It's not, he's not like that, and nothing in his experience is like that. And all he has is senses and a mind that deal with visible and concrete perceptions and ideas. And Brahman doesn't show up as a visible perception or clear or describable idea. That makes it, that's what's very difficult about Brahman realization. But it's very difficult to actually become Brahman realized. It's easy to make a cheap show of it, to just play around with it, to be a dilettante, in the art of Brahman realization. You can just sit and chant Om and pretend you're very realized. So it's easy to just go through the motions, but it's hard to actually accomplish it. It's easy because it requires less commitment. Anybody can be a Mayavadi. A lot of Mayavadis are walking around with their dandas and they have no sadhana at all, except for chasing after chapatis. And they don't, so it's easy to be a Mayavadi in that sense. You don't have to do very much. Yes, but it's hard to accomplish anything. To accomplish anything really spiritual, it's easy to make a cheap show of being spiritual. Spiritualized, and the mind becomes the main vehicle of focus of attention. Meditation begins in the mind. But advanced meditation involves the awakening of one's spiritual identity and one's spiritual body, one's spiritual senses become active in advanced meditation. And then you're actually seeing with spiritual eyes. And then it's not just internal, because it's not just mental. You can see Krishna with your eyes out there, externally, with spiritual eyes. But that's advanced stage.
Yeah, but why it is said that the eyes and nose are created externally because you don't want to see it, and if I don't do meditation, you don't have the
internal eyes aren't created, they're eternal. The spiritual eye, your spiritual senses are internal components of your sarupa. Brahma didn't create them. He doesn't have the power to create spiritual senses. He just creates temporary senses.
So that means these external eyes are not going to be used to see anything inside. So what is the reason we are speaking that these senses are created externally because we don't want to see it?
Yeah, they're created for the use of those who want to have a material life separate from the Supreme. People want to have a material life, they're going to have to live it outside. Just like the children want to play in the mud, they got to stay outside. They're not going to come inside and get mud all over the rug. So as long as you're going to be that dirty, stay outside. So if you want to mess around, then you'll have to go outside into the material world. And we'll give you external senses as you go out and play. But to come inside, you got to clean up. Brahma creates material senses because there's a demand for them. Living entities want to live a material life. He provides what they want.
Okay.
Yes, Uday.
Here, the four Kumaras, they are saying that we heard before from Brahmaji, and now we are realizing practically you are appeared in front of
us.
We are saying.
Yes.
So, I heard there the saying direct the Lord. But hearing is more important than listening to
Yes. Or that is a standard procedure. You can't see. You have to hear first. Otherwise, even if you see, you won't know what you're seeing. You won't appreciate it, and you won't understand it unless you first hear about it. So many examples, but. Normally, the hearing process comes first. In the case of the Kumaras, it came first also. They heard about the Lord. But the thing is, they weren't engaging in sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti, you hear about the Lord, and that's actual devotional service. Even though it's only theoretical, devotional service is real on a theoretical level. It's just a higher level when you actually realize. They're both considered real devotional service. Theoretically realizing Krishna, and then actually realizing him. In personal relationship, they're both authentic devotion, practice of devotion on the two levels. But the Kumaras weren't practicing devotional service. Brahma told them about Krishna, and they didn't take it seriously. They didn't understand it. They remember what he said, but the words never really touched their hearts until now. They were given the material to hear, but they weren't really listening.
Now they became devotees after this?
Yes, just now they became devotees.
Means they immediately became pure devotees, or now they are going to start the devotion?
No, they are. They didn't have to take any time. They became immediately pure devotees. Yes, it's possible. It's possible in exceptional cases. That it takes apparently no time at all. Especially if Lord Narayan comes in person to meet you, then you have a good chance of it, of making immediate advancement.
But I'm wondering that still, up to this moment, their senses are material.
Material, but not even material, because they were Brahman realized. That's not material, it's spiritual but impersonal. They were impersonally realized. Okay, so they actually weren't materialists.
And you said that the moment they immediately transferred, they...
It's like they were liberated already, but they weren't devotees.
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
But they had the devotional propensity. There was nothing really blocking their becoming devotees. There was no offensive attitude, and no serious misunderstandings, and no big selfish motives. So it didn't take much to push them over the edge, because there was no obstacles for them. We have obstacles. We're trying to become devotees. We're doing everything we can to become devotees, but we have so many obstacles. And it takes us forever. Figuratively forever, but it seems like forever. Yes. Sri Krishna is here first.
It means if somebody on the position in highest level, Brahmavadi, somebody realized Brahman, and after that he will get association of pure devotees.
Maybe he'll get this.
Okay, if he will get association of pure devotees, then he become immediately pure devotee or?
No, not necessarily. The thing is he really Brahman realized? If someone's actually Brahman realized, okay, then he may almost immediately or somewhat immediately become a devotee. But if he's not really completely liberated, he's got some selfishness and some misunderstandings, then it's going to take time,
so what
even with the association of devotees. It's very rare that you have someone who's actually fully Brahman, purely Brahman realized. That's rare. You got a lot of people who think they are. Vibhukta Mandinas.
What about Sarvam Bhattacharya Prabhashananda? So they become, is it pure duty or?
They were actually eternal associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they were just going through leelas, appearing to be covered up by Yoga Maya. They're associates. But Lord Chaitanya enjoyed this pastime with almost each of his, almost every one of his associates, that they seemed to be in Maya first. Most of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, especially in Navadvipa, seemed to have been materialists before, or impersonalists. Even when Lord Chaitanya was there, they spent some years not appreciating him for what he was, and then changing their hearts, almost every one of his associates. In the beginning, in the part of his pastimes when he was still a householder. Murari Gupta and Srivas Thakur, all these devotees, they seemed to have been in material consciousness before. Lord Chaitanya was there, but they didn't surrender to him right away. That's the pastime. Yes.
You said this understanding to Brahman, but I am wondering about how it is possible to understand invisible things.
We do it. You know, scientists have figured out, you know, the theory of quantum mechanics, things that nobody sees. People figure out how to harness electricity. Nobody sees the electrons. They just made up some mathematics to describe what's happening in the electricity, but nobody sees it. So even in technology, there are many things people don't see, but they somehow figure it, using mathematics or something, they understand it. So there are ways, there are techniques of, you know, sorry, understanding without any sense perception, or even without any being able to put things in words. There are ways that they try to understand. They're very difficult. The Prabhupada doesn't say it's impossible, he says it's very difficult to follow the Upanishadic formulas for impersonal realization. Doesn't say impossible. Only a few people can do it. Somebody can do it, but it's a great struggle and it takes a lot of training. And then all you get is impersonal realization. It's still not perfect. No, but before that, he was a materialist. He was studying, he was a materialist, and he got some curse to die within a year. And then he became serious, you know, he was, you know, very much in anxiety. I'm going to die, I know exactly what day I'm going to die. And he was waiting for the day to happen, and he was studying Shastras all that time. And he heard from the Brihadnaradi of Purani, he heard, you know, Hari Nama, Ivakeval, that changed his life. And the day came and he didn't die. And then he realized his relationship with Lord Chaitanya after that. That was Srivas Thakur.
This question is Chaitanya Chandra Nataka.
Yes, Chaitanya Chandra Nataka.
This is like a dramatic kind of.
Well, it's history. It's not a made up story.
Because the other question.
We accept that the things that Kavi Karnapur describes in Chaitanya Chaturthi Nataka are facts, it's not made up stories.
Because this contradicts the other version.
Which other version?
Chaitanya Balabhadra.
Really? Are you sure, or is it just describing him after he went through that? I think it's just different times in his life. Earlier he was like that. He was
different.
Different.
How was?
What's different? Well, we have to look at that. I don't know. I think that's outside the scope of class right now to analyze that. But okay, we can look at it. Yeah. Is there any contradiction? Sometimes there's apparent contradictions in the different biographies of Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, they're not all accepted as completely authoritative. But generally, Krishna's Kaviraj and Vrindavan's Thakur, they're both accepted as completely authoritative. Yes. Yes, sorry.
I want to which is in point that the previous verses to the station which you have no essentially this supreme direction of the hunter. So supreme beloved the direction of the hunter. They wanted to see the supreme beloved and they want that it was hunger, it was they were prevented from seeing, and therefore they become angry to this forgiveness.
Okay, do you have the actual verse?
Yes,
it wasn't quoted by Jiva Goswami, you didn't go back that far, right?
No, he started from
31. 315 what?
31.
I think we had to go even before that, about from the beginning of the story, but let's see. I'm sorry, I lost
it.
315, let me look at the Sanskrit text. 315:31.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't spell it right. Okay. Suritama Dudrikshita is mentioned there. Now, let's see. They were already witnessing the opulences of Vaikuntha, right?
And they felt the great joy just by entering this
realm. Yeah, apurparam mudama purvam upecha yoga maya balena munayas. So it seems like their entrance into the Dham changed their consciousness somewhat. You know, they experienced a pleasure they'd never experienced before. On seeing Vaikuntha, even before they came to the gate. I don't know if, now before that, I don't know, let's see. Manasa me sutta yushmat purvaja sanakadaya ta ekadal bhagavato vaikuntha syamalad yayur vaikuntha nilayam. It just says one day they went to Vaikuntha, it doesn't say what they were thinking. And then it says Vaikuntha's like this and like that. It doesn't say anything before. It says that they felt an unprecedented bliss when they entered Vaikuntha. And then it says before, just before they got to the gate, or when they were checked the gate, they were angry because their desire to see the Lord, eager desire, was frustrated. So they had the desire at that point, but I don't know how far back that desire goes.
Can you
tell
that this verse will come, like you just mentioned, that when somebody just comes to Vrindavan or goes to Mathura in a long, very, very short time, he might get this desire to see Krishna, which is always the
problem. Might, yes. There are many cases of devotees or people who weren't devotees just happening to come to Vrindavan and being attracted by the atmosphere of the Dham. But there's many other cases of people who pass through the Dham and nothing happens to them, apparently. At least not anything invisible in that life. Every single train going to Agra passes through the Dham. And people get out on the platform to get a cup of tea at Mathura, but that doesn't change their life, at least not apparently. But it happens to some people. Just by contact with the Dham, by stepping foot in it, it changes them.
Can you say that there always been highly spiritually related, the sons of Brahma who gave the instructions of Lord Krishna? So,
well, among the sons of Brahma, they're exceptional.
Yeah, it's amazing, very high communication.
Yeah, and they're not envious. Mm-hmm. Even though they were impersonalists, they had nothing against, they were, had no agenda against the Supreme Lord. They weren't trying to depersonalize him. They just couldn't get it. Brahma told them about the Supreme Lord, but it just didn't strike a chord in them at first. So it's not just complete ignorance that makes Brahmavadis not know the Supreme Lord. It's that even though they hear about it, it doesn't affect them. You know, they don't take it to heart. They just take it theoretically.
So it looks like that they got this first, the
It looks like that, but there may be more to the story than that. Maybe they actually had the desire before they even set out on their trip. I don't know. That is not told us here. Not right here. You want me to look at the commentaries quickly? 3:15:2, that second verse? No, I'm sorry, wait. No, I'm looking before. 13. One day they went to Vaikuntha. Let me see if it says anything about what they were thinking on that day, at the beginning of the day. You know, why did they go to Vaikuntha on that day? Just by accident, or did they have some idea in mind? 3:15:2, let me quickly look at Sridhar Swami's commentary, see if he says anything. Doesn't seem to be numbered the same. Okay, nothing in Sridhar. Can I try Jiva Goswami? No. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong numbers. 13, right? Okay, that's why I didn't see you. Let me try. Okay, Jiva Goswami doesn't refer to verse 13. Let me try Sridhar on verse 13. Nope. Okay. I guess the commentaries don't tell us anything about what they were thinking. Or whether they were eager or not, it doesn't say. We don't know what they were thinking. We don't have information what they were thinking before they actually came to Vaikuntha. Okay. Any last question before we stop this?
Who was the demon talks about Baba?
I said that, yeah. I'm saying that what they say is going to reveal to us what they were thinking and also what they were feeling. Yeah, the two things, you know, thoughts and emotions are two different things. They're both functions of the mind. You know, you can say philosophically we're all going to die and not be worried about it. Or you could be in terrible anxiety, we're all going to die. The emotion is a different thing than the theoretical thought. Yes?
Also about this mercy is talking to Lokumaras. We know that Shrimati Tulsidevi is a very great mercy in one piece. Can you say that they call the mercy of Tulsidevi because of that they experienced that ecstasy?
Yeah, it seems that that's the two things. You know, it's like, like the person loses the boxing match because of two punches. Get punched here and then second punch knocks him down. So he got the first punch from Tulsi Devi and the second one from actually seeing Narayan. And that pushed him over the edge. And then their spontaneous devotion was completely awakened.
So the first one was the situation of Lokurama, then Narsi
Well, that put the seed in their heart. But we're talking about what actually, you know, pushed them over the edge. Okay, we'll stop here. I'm not giving my 11:30 class so that Madan Mohan can teach his class 2 hours today. Okay, all glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna.